then if you know this between this and this, no flickering. All flickering will be dead. Understand? Your gray matter, brain, which may be about 2 inches in depth. 2 inches according to the metric system is 25 plus 25, 50 millimeters. Am I right? 50 millimeters. The size, this is 1 millimeter. So if 50 sheets are together, that's the depth of your brain. In this 50 millimeters of your brain, there may be 5,000 layers. Wafer layers of memory, history, geography, science, this, that, what not. Understand? These are the paper thin layers. Have you ever tried to walk through a spider's web? You do like this and it can now open. You see? And it's so tiny, it's so thin. So don't go by wafer-like size. You can't break it. You can't destroy it. That wafer, you can't destroy it. Memory is indestructible. Each layer of your memory, that wafer-thin layer, is unbreakable. No atom bomb can break it. It is unbreakable, indestructible. Otherwise, we would have put one atom bomb if it could have been destroyed. It is indestructible. So the best thing is to deep freeze it so that it is inactive for life. Understand? This is what Yoga Sutra teaches us. That is why Yoga Sutra are most important. Still go on. I again read. It is one word only. Memory, and memory at three stages. Past, present, future. Coinciding into a now. Always at each point in time. I will explain to you, always at each point in time. If total memory is exiled or frozen, it gives totality of knowledge, that is wisdom, and is available, not gathered. Note the words used are frozen or exiled, not lost in case of memory. What is internal purification? It is as great a task as deflecting a river from its course and make it flow into another well-defined and useful course. Suppose your Ganga were to flow like this. You can't make it. Ganga was to flow like this, you can't navigate because there are so many falls and no ship or boat will go over the surface. Then you will have to have another path so that you sail with it all the way. In life, this is your normal life, which is not navigable. You have to make this type of life, which could be navigable. If a river is so important to be navigable, your life is a million times more important to be navigable. And if there are waterfalls in your life, your journey is a race. You have to lay an entire course for your life. well, you may not be as good an engineer to deflect Ganga all the way, or your life all the way. So Yoga Sutra tells you, don't worry about all this. The core of each fall in your life, each waterfall in your life, are the obstacles and the hindrances, and they are caused by memory. He says, Patanjali says, come, I'll teach you one thing, how to get rid of your memory that is making you work in a particular way. Uproot a tree that is useless and plant in its place another tree that will give you fruits. Memory of superior life. Put that tree in its place. Uproot the memory of your past life and your memory of useless acts. This is how, in Yoga Sutra, you are made to lay down the course of your life. You understand? That is what Yoga Sutra teaches you. What does it teach? It means to make dormant the existing and working animal centers, and to make active existing but dormant human centers, so that the covering by itself and not by control withers and dies, because being intelligent will work for his own total annihilation. And once it realizes that it obstructs the real you, then one longs to die and not be born again. That feeling, that longing to die once and for all and not be born again, that will only come when existing animal centers are closed down and dormant human centers are made to function. Understand? You are uprooting a useless tree and planting a tree that will give you good fruits. You are laying a course where you can navigate and forget the whole course where you could do nothing. How this totality of all knowledge, that is wisdom, becomes available? As long as the covering functions, so long only mithya knowledge will be gathered, because till then memory is active. It is very strange that memory is active where it is not desired, and memory does not work where it is most desired. You understand? No, you don't. You understand? Have you understood me? No. You might say yes, I'll say no. Memory functions when it is not desired to function. It does not function where we desire most to function. I'll explain. This is your last life. This is your present life. This is your future life. Memory is active here. Memory is active here. Memory is active here. It is not frozen. It's not exiled. And yet, it does not work between this and this, and between this and this. You die here. You are born here. What happens here? You don't know. Where your memory must help you to know, it does not help you. This link which is so essential. I am dead here, I am born here, it has happened a million times. And every time when memory should have helped me, it does not help me. It becomes dormant. and that is why when I am born here, I say, why I am poor? Why I am lame? Why I am blind? And that man saying millions of money. He is rich, he is nice, he is healthy, and he is as much a fool as I am.
Why he should give you all that?
Because I am born here, lame, blind, and there here, this link is missing. My memory, where it should have worked, has not worked. And I don't know why I am lame, I am blind, I am poor. And why he is rich, good looking, though he is stupid. This is the time when we are discarnate. This is incarnate. We are living. This is the state when we are discarnate. Discarnate meaning we have no physical body. We have no brain. Since we have no physical body, we have no brain. And since we have no brain, we have not got that point number one that will keep flickering and connect me with my memory. You get the point? If I had that point with me, I would know what I was here, why I am here. You get the point? This flickering number one point is not there because I have no brain. I am discarnate. Understand? And therefore, memory does not work in that way. And therefore, I take each life as individual life. And I don't see the links. And that is why we do not believe in reincarnation. I mean, we meaning outside the Hindu thought. The Christians, the Muslims and others, they don't believe in this continuity of life. This continuity of life and the continuity of memory, we don't believe in. We do not freeze memory when we are alive. And we have no way to generate memory when we are discarnate. We do all the things wrong. If you have memory here, and if you have total memory here, you are safe. You will reach Godhood. You will become gods. But this very tricky little thing known as memory plays tricks with us. It makes us do the things when we don't want it to help us. And it disappears when we want the memory to help us. See? This is the sad story. Why we are what we are, and that leads to another thing. Past, present, future. Past, present, future. There is no link. There is no flickering. And because there is no flickering, because there is no link, I have no reason to work on my memory. Because there's no reason. If I knew there was a link between the past, between the present and between the future, and that link is managed by memory, I would do something about memory. It is all right to talk about reincarnation. What is the link? This body is buried, this body is burned, this body is given to the vajra, but something, isn't it? And is it your brain is eaten up or burnt? And that flickering point one is gone. And you are born with a new flickering point. And you don't know how to use it. You don't know how to go into the past. And then again go into the future. If you could see your flickering point one today, you will be able to know exactly what your next life will be, because it will flicker that way. You get my point? But these most practical aspects of life and death, nobody wants to bother. Go to the temple, do this, do that, as if that is going to help you. But you will go further, you will not get excited about it. When this has been accomplished, the yogi knows himself as he is in reality. When this has been accomplished, what has been accomplished? In your life, past, present, future, you freeze your memory. And between your this life, next life, last life, where memory is missing, you enkindle, regenerate memory. When this has been done, the yogi knows as he is in reality. Why? We give all the importance from year to year, birth to death. Nobody has told us anything about this. It has remained vacuum. Nothing. Blackness. And we are given some idiotic idea that you will go to hell, you will go to heaven in during that time. Who will go to hell or heaven? My body, my brain is destroyed. My soul never goes to hell or heaven. It is gone. Who will go to hell or heaven? Nothing. Nobody. And therefore the link remains blank, unconnected. Yogi is a person who has connected this life and this life to this life, and therefore knows the secret of nature. This, what is vacuum in our life, is the whole story for a yogi. He need not be taught by anyone. He sees for himself. I have done this. This is my memory. My memory will make me do this. I have been born like this. The whole thing is clear to him. So the sutra says, when this has been accomplished, the yogi knows himself as he is in reality. Now, how will the yogi know if his brain is destroyed? Nobody asked me that question. How will the yogi know if his brain is also destroyed? How will he know? Because we have been convinced that we know by the help of our brain. We have been convinced that we only know by the help of our brain. And if our brain is destroyed, we can't know. Understand? And for that, what is necessary? To know in this lifetime how to forge a link. Link between your foolish you and your real you. Between this you and the real you. So Yoga Sutra teaches that also. How to forge link between this unreal you and between the real you. Once that link is forged, no brain is required. Then you don't need a brain. Let the brain be burned, frozen, cut to pieces, whatever it may happen. Once the link is established, then the real you will tell you everything. Wisdom replaces knowledge. Wisdom tells you everything. Wisdom tells you what to do, what to understand, what not to understand. These two links are so important. Memory and the link between this false you and the real. Yoga Sutra teaches these two simple things. Simple, yet very difficult. But if you never know these two things, you will be what you are always, and never will be what you could be. If the whole idea is for progress, to be your real self, these two things are important. Memory and the link between the false you and the real. If now one is ready and determined to go ahead progressively, this progress will depend on the intensity of efforts. The Yoga Sutra teach what to do with memory, how to remove hindrances and obstacles, how to make dormant human centers active and make dormant active animal centers, and much more. Such practical and constructive guidance is found only in Yoga Sutra of Sage Patanjali. The Upanishads and the Gita form exhilarating and profoundly spiritual philosophy. But when the spirit is weak, when the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, one has to take help of the sutras. Normally, we think of memory as something that happened in the past and our remembrance of the same. We have not been told of memory that is present and also that is future and coinciding in the now at each point in time. Now I will explain this. What? Also that is future and coinciding in the now at each point in time, today, and also in the future. This is the most powerful effect of memory. It makes life meaningful. This action of memory prevents us from being a vegetable or a robot, but it demands also its pound of flesh. What is the point in time that creates a now? Supposing a normal human life is 70 years. A normal human life is, say, 70 years. How many seconds are there in 70 years? How many seconds are there in 70 years? 70 multiplied by 365, multiplied by 24, multiplied by 60, multiplied by 60. So many seconds in a life of 70 years. You are, say, today 39 years old, 6 months, 11 days. You are at that point in time in your present life. What were you in your last life at this point in time? What were you in your last life at this point in time when you are 39 years old, 6 months and 11 days? In your life, last life, on this day, if you have been horse racing and in this life you are set to meditate, your meditation would be put aside and you will think of horse racing. That is the point in time. And in your next life, when you are 39 years, 6 months and 11 days, on that day you will again think of horse riding. You see, this is how it is called, the point in time of memory. The past, the present, the future points are coincident and coinciding, with the result that if you sit in meditation, you will sleep first and then you will dream what you have done in your last life at that point in time.
Understand?
What do you evolve? Huh? You don't evolve at all. After 500 million years, you don't evolve. You just are the same once again after 500 million years. That is why the only way is to take our life in our own hand and do something. And the only way to do something is memory and link between the false you and the real you. This we must learn. If we don't learn this,
do what you like. You will still be horse riding
at that point in time. Then it is not a link. If you are not aware that you have got 10 million pounds lying in Swiss bank, you are poor. And the thought that you have got 10 million pounds in the Swiss bank is useless, unless you have the key, you have the number, so that you can go to Switzerland, operate your account and get 10 million pounds. Otherwise, that link, that fortune is always there. You are as poor as ever, isn't it? It's no use the link being there. We should be aware of that link, A, and be able to operate. You get my point? You are right when you say it is always there. But like a 10 million pounds in a Swiss bank, you don't know. And here, you will be thinking about paying your rent. You understand me? So we are poor because we don't know. Good? Am I clear? Okay, we'll go further. Suppose you see it in prayers or japa. Suddenly some thoughts enter your conscious brain and you are lost in a chain of events that leave you angry because the japa or prayer was only mechanical or had stopped completely. There is no reason for such thoughts to come in. That we can explain. Memory at random does not come in our thinking. Please remember this sentence. Memory at random does not come in our thinking. And this is your spinal cord to which the nerves come. And through your five senses, all the incoming impulses reach here. We have learned that earlier. And the incoming impulses with memory patterns come here and these four points, intellectual, emotional, sex, movement, those four points, create a thought. And then you think, you act accordingly. The 120 impulses per second comes to your brain. They come into your brain and not in my brain. Or what? 120 impulses come into my brain, may not come in his brain. And all, each of you, the 120 impulses come every second. What are different? They are different because they are based on your memory, on my memory, on his memory, on her memory. So, the 120 impulses that come with the memory patterns come here and are developed into thoughts are based on your memory. That point number one, that twinkles in your brain and that twinkles here in your causal body. So the incoming impulses are filtered as per your memory, as per my memory, as per each individual's memory. And if you are sitting for japa or prayer and some wrong thoughts come in and disturb you, disturb me, it's your fault or my fault? Because my memory is selecting the incoming thoughts. And if I do nothing about my memory, I can't do anything about the incoming thoughts. And if I can do nothing about my incoming thoughts, they will rule me as they like. And I will be a slave unto them. and do as they want me to do. If I am sitting on prayers, suddenly a thought comes, I must have a little wine. I put down the prayer book, go to the next room, open my... Why? The point in time of my memory comes in and makes me do it. I am a slave to my memory. I have no control of memory, I am a slave to my memory, and I will do exactly as my memory will dictate me. I put down my prayer book. Or I will go down the steps and play some figure. Put 5 rupees like this on figure. Come back, do like this, start my prayer again. But I am helpless, I am a slave to my memory. You understand memory now? It is more weak than a spider's web. And an atom bomb cannot destroy. And it will make you and me do the things it wants. We are slaves, we can't do a thing about it. If you think that your prayers can help, you'll go on praying, praying, praying. Your mind has gone somewhere. The book is in your hands, your lips are praying. Your mind has gone where it is supposed to go. See your helplessness? That is a human being. The 20th century human being who is going into the 21st century, what a big thing it will do. It has passed from one century to another for the last so many thousand years. What has happened? Same thing. We do the same thing. So unless we are determined to do something practical, there is no way out. Why am I putting all the weight on Yoga Sutra? It is because of this. That unless you take your own life in your own hand and say, I am going to be the master, none else, not memory, then only things will improve. That is why I say Yoga Sutra is totally different. Can I ask you a question?
No, go ahead. Why are you hesitating?
I'm more confused now than I was hiding.
That is my duty.
that was my duty always, and it will always be. To confuse you is my religious duty.
You have almost succeeded.
I will always succeed, you see.
Now what I'm asking is this, that this life, I'm Muslim, for example, maybe in my last life, because of this lack of connection, I don't know what I want. I don't know what the matter is.
Do you hear? I'll live. I'll speak.
What is the common between
intangibles and there's the memory?
I'm asking is that if there is a divine fragment at that point of time existing there, and this, they have no connection. It's like a drop in the ocean to the divine fragment. Once the body goes away and the divine fragment leaves the body, there is no memory for the divine fragment.
Why do you give memory to divine fragment?
Right. It has got none.
Now, what it has got wisdom.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is that because of this lack of connection, what is being reborn? When you continuously use the word that we are being reborn.
Your memory is reborn. What do you mean by me? And that memory is to be then given clothes, shirt and pants or sari, that's all.
But that memory, has it got a point, 0 point? What point is considered as zero in time, for example? Yes, but talking about the continuum. Is what last life, what is the point zero in time?
Where is zero?
Pardon?
Where is zero?
No, I'm just giving an idea. For sake of comparison, and this birth is a zero for this life, then what has happened over a certain number of seconds thereafter between this life and the last life are connected by memory, and we in this life keep on repeating very likely what happened.
Because zero, nothing is added to zero. You remain zero.
Now, it brings
memory is zero, mind you.
Now, what I am beginning to wonder is that if there is a continuity like this, life to life, what happened when the first human being was born and what kept multiplying there?
My dear friend, I gave you this to answer your question. Why? Life begins here, goes down, 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 here, and then comes here. All this is there. Eternity upon eternity upon eternity. From here to here you take 21 eternities and then again you have reaches an eternity. So which eternity you are talking about? Which birth you are talking about? And which memory you are talking about?
I really don't know.
That is exactly what I say. The only thing we know is we don't know. That means zero. We have to come out of this zero of not knowing. That is my whole talk, my friend. You are right. We are zero. We have been zero. We will be zero till such time we take ourselves in our hand and add something. Get my point? If you don't, and just keep on living, after 50 million years, it will be zero. Because memory is zero. It has no plus minus. It is zero. And makes us live zero life. That is why I say it should be exiled or frozen. Then only be a chance to start with one. You get my point? Because go back in time till you come to the first life, whatever it is, you see? A born future, another million lives. Zero to zero to zero. Because memory is zero. It doesn't function by itself. It has been created by you. And now it has become the master. You understand me? The prime minister is ruling the king. And the king appointed the prime minister. That is the story of life.
Which you are the meaning, I don't know.
The you, that is a false you. One false you after another. One false you after another has created memory. And memory in time now says, you do what I am telling you, I know everything, you know nothing. And so we live our life. See? Therefore it is very, very essential that two things we establish. There are two zeros in our life. One is the zero memory and other is the zero of the knowledge of link between one life and another. This can be provided if we put up the link between the false you and the real. There are practices that will help you to put up this link between the false you and the real you. Once this link is put up, in absence of your brain between one life to another, this link will provide you with all the wisdom you want to know. So that in your next birth, you don't do the things you don't want to do and do the things you want to do. And therefore you start on your progress. Till then, whatever you achieve is knowledge. We have read so much, we have heard so much. We have not progressed an inch. You get my point? Because you have not taken our own life in our own hand, we must be real masters of ourselves, you see. That can only be provided if this false you builds up a link between the real you. You get my point? Then only, and then only, memory is absolutely frozen. Then only memory will walk out of the back door, knowing that it will have nothing to do now. Because the real, powerful, real you, there is a link now. And this false body will very soon like to crumble and die so that the real you is free to operate. The whole idea, this false you is living as I. But the day it will really understand that it is a false you, no amount of telling it that you are a false you will do. Because every time you say that this is a false you, it only becomes memory. It is not a fact. But the day there is a link between the false you and the real you, it is a concrete substance generated. And that concrete substance will make this false you say, oh, I have been hindering the real you. And then it will long to die. You get my point? That is freedom, that is moksha.
What are those necessities?
Will come. Will come. Home was not built in a day. You laugh now. Then you'll die. And when you'll be reborn, you'll not laugh. Because you don't know that you are laughing well.
We have to cry when we are born.
That is because at the time of birth we realize that we know nothing and again we are in prison. That is why we cry. You see, the child is very, very sensible because it has yet not broken its link with the real you. And it cries because it says, oh God, it will start all over again. That is why it cries. And if one does not know what will happen after I die, one will cry also then. Unless one has knowledge. When in prayer, japa, incoming impulses are normally kept out, that is, they pass the conscious brain without impression on the registration area. But the point in time, that is at that point in your present life, in a similar point in life, in an earlier life, if your thoughts were along a certain line, such thoughts will pass at the present point in time. That is why we need many lives to educate all such points in time in the past. For these, two methods are followed. To freeze memory, to exile memory. In diagram 3b shows how memory is exiled, and diagram 3c shows how memory is deeply frozen so that even incoming impulses are prevented from entering the system. It may be argued, please correct the sentence, it may be argued, are those who do not receive help from sutras lost? Correct the sentence, it may be argued, are those who do not receive help from the sutras lost? Not lost, but to find a way is 100 or more times more difficult, because such practical guidance only shortens the road. This path is very long and can be measured in light years, because we have to be born in different places in the universe and not only on this earth. God and nature make available all help that a sincere student needs anywhere in the universe. And as all the hindrances and obstacles depend on memory, they will fall away and disappear if we take care of memory, but not otherwise. Therefore, such sadhana or practice is necessary that takes care of memory. Memory is by nature indestructible. Millions of years cannot obliterate memory. It is only filed improperly and so seems to be forgotten or difficult to recall. For the present, we shall end with the following lines. First stage, the slow process of a material mind. Cancel that and write which serves the body. Now these five words with the underline, don't read first. Continue. The slow process of a material mind which serves the body and needs to lean upon an erring sense, it should rule and use. The sutras help us here. Second stage. The new matter pregnant with spiritual sense, mind dare the study of the unknowable. He read from within the texts of the without. There's a progress on the part. In the sutras, he read from within is translated as spiritual reading results in contact with the soul. The link between the false you and the real you. This is what the sutra is going to teach you. Spiritual reading results in contact with the soul. So one thing is clearly stated here. The second thing is how memory should be deeply frozen. And the third state, this too must now be overpassed and left, as all must be until the highest is gained. Till that is reached, our journey